Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today at Faith Church. That's quite the entrance, isn't it? Today we're going to talk about that this is a really old Jeep. It's got a lot of miles on it, probably like a lot of us. How many of y'all feel like you need a redone? Guys, but let's try that again. How many of y'all feel like you need a little work done, right? So this Jeep actually was all rusted out, the guy who owned it told me, and it was rusted completely. It was so bad that he took the whole body off and put a fiberglass body on it. How many of y'all could use a new body? And it could never rust. And I brought it today to kind of talk about some things that have probably happened in your past, in your childhood, that are kind of a lot of times not addressed at church. So people at our church were telling me, in fact, they're writing a book. They were talking about how that when they first got married, that when they went to consummate the marriage, that afterwards it just didn't feel right. It wasn't right. And come to find out, she was molested and had a lot of trauma that was going on. So she didn't enjoy it. She doesn't like it. And she had shame and guilt. This went on for several years of their marriage. It led him down a path of pornography. She didn't know he was doing that. He didn't know she had that happening. And this is what happens a lot of times in relationships, in marriage or hiring people. A lot of times people look good on the outside, and they are technically good, but there's stuff going on under the hood that nobody really addressed. And now she had actually said, true story, at one point during their marriage, like, if I ever found out that my husband was watching pornography, I would divorce you in a minute. So now he knows he can't tell her what's going on. Long story short, time goes on. They end up going to a church there in Florida, and this church they went to, they had a big cross on Easter Sunday, and the preacher had said, we got these little cards, and you write down your sin or what you're struggling with, and you go put it at the cross. So he's kind of holding it close to his chest so his wife doesn't see, and he's trying to figure out how to spell pornography. That's not easy. Come on, somebody. He said, I did the best that I could, and then I snuck it down to the altar, and I did it. A few weeks later passed, and for some reason, she just brings it up. She goes, have you, in our marriage, watched pornography? And he was walking out the door to leave to go to work. And he's leaving, and he goes, yes, I have, I did, but I went to church, and I got delivered, and I'm fine now. And he closes the door, and now she has to sit home all day thinking about that. Well, the good news is they came back and they did something that a lot of people don't do. And I'm talking about whether marriage or pre-marriage or in business, you have to talk about stuff. When you don't communicate, what you do is you stuff it and you push it down. And at your house, Dad said, we don't talk about that. And there's a lot of pain in people's past that is causing all kinds of other addictions and bad behavior and self-sabotage because they really have never been healed. Here's the good news. Jesus can heal you and make you brand new, better than this Jeep. In fact, this new body that's on this Jeep, man, it can't even rust. Now, the end of their story looks like this. They've been married almost 50 years. They have kids and grandkids. They've built an incredible, unbelievable business worth around. In fact, they just sold it for a ginormous amount of money. And they're really happy, and they got to the bottom of it. Once she communicated, here's what happened to me, he had an understanding because that helps. You got to talk about it. First, we talk to God about it. Like, I definitely don't want to talk to God about this. This is embarrassing. God was there when it happened, which leads to another question. Why did God allow it to happen? I mean, I don't understand. I'm not here to go down to every path. All I know is that all of us have something in our trunk or under our hood, and we don't know how to deal with it. We just flat don't know how to deal with it. I look out right now. I just heard that's right from Cynthia. Cynthia has lost, how much weight have you lost since you came to the church? 245 pounds. That's how much weight she's lost. Cynthia saw me on a stage with Joel Osteen over 10 years ago, and Joel said, hey, I want you to go to Faith Church. I didn't have a church there yet, but she waited, and we started a church, and she came, and she began to look under the hood, and she got a healing, and she found out that her abuser that would sexually molest her would give her candy afterwards, and it led her down a path of an eating disorder. But then eventually she found out who she was and what God did for her. And she just wrote a book. And now she's America's leading salesperson in what she does. And she feels good about herself. And if you get it for Cynthia, somebody ought to shout amen. He'll do it for you. But she didn't want to talk about it because nobody wants to talk about this stuff. It's uncomfortable. But it happened. You went down a path and that path took you somewhere. And now you're afraid to talk about what it is you really need to talk about. I want to go to Luke chapter 22. We know this is a cool passage for us to kind of break down who starts trouble. Verse 3, it says, then Satan, who? Then Satan. Let's all shout it at every campus. What? Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. Judas was the chief priest officer of the temple guard, and he went to them and he discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. And they were delighted and they agreed to give him money. And he consented, and I love this line, he waited for an opportunity to hand over Jesus. We're going to draw the parallels between two guys this weekend, Peter, who was a betrayer of Jesus, and Judas, who was a betrayer of Jesus. Both of them had their own edition of their own issue. Judas, we know, had a real unhealthy relationship with money. He didn't just like money, he loved money. In fact, he is now the CFO, for real. He was the treasurer. He was the CFO of Jesus' ministry. And he just thought, this is a great gig. There's a lot of cash flowing. This is great. He's an evangelist. This is wonderful. In fact, he's so messed up that when the woman, who was a very notorious sinner, who had a lot of stuff under her hood, comes to Jesus, and she brings a year's worth of salary. Remember this story? And she pours it on the feet of Jesus. And then Judas is the one that said, oh, shouldn't we sell this and give it to the poor? Why are we wasting this oil, this year's salary? First of all, worship is never a waste. When you've been delivered from much, you celebrate much and you give glory to God. But Judas had some ulterior motives because there was something going under the hood in his life, and he has the need for greed, and he decided he was going to take. Here's also the wild thing about Jesus is that Jesus knew what he was doing and still let him be on the team. So certainly if Jesus has this type of behavior that he exhibits where he takes people who are sinners and lets them hang out, hoping that it's kind of like a mule at the Kentucky Derby. We don't think he can win, but we think the association will do him some good. So that's why I always say, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So you get around the right people, you ask the right questions, and then it's okay. So you realize, okay, we're not embarrassed that we hate it that Cynthia was molested as a child. But it's terrible and it's a tragedy. But she said, I'm not going to allow this to be my tombstone. I'm going to make this my stepping stone, and I'm going to have a platform to speak to people around. Somebody ought to go with me. So this sets us up to have... We have a culture where we can talk about stuff that your parents didn't talk about. You got to be able to talk about it. If you stuff it and suppress it and only Jesus knows, you need some people that know you. Which is why you got to make sure that you have this circle of friends, this group. Well, we have small groups here, and they start, they come and go all the time. Serving is one of the big things we do at the church, because when you start using your life to help other people, and you get around people that know you, it just helps you to communicate with each other about something that is painful. So Judas now, we got Judas is on the team, and you also have another guy on the team named Peter. Peter, they're all at the Last Supper. Remember this, raise your hand if you remember this. You're at the Last Supper, everything's going good. Jesus knows everything's going on. And in fact, when Judas says, I've got to go, Jesus looks at him and says, do what you got to do. In other words, homie, I know exactly what you're about to do to me. Okay, there's that problem that I told you about. So now we said, hey, this is what we got going on. Now Peter, everybody shout Peter. Peter's got something completely different going on. Peter now, he's got some past issues, and we don't know what it is, but we know for sure he is emotional, that he is raging all the time. He's raging. If somebody gets mad, he cuts off their ear. He's always hot-tempered. Don't point at anybody, but have you ever seen people like this? Raise your hand. Just the temper's too hot, it's just going. So he's emotional, and maybe it's because at home when he was a kid, he saw that behavior acted out. Now, when you go dating somebody or you go hire somebody, when you look at them on paper, they look good. They look really great. But the problem is now, when you look under the hood, first of all, funny story. Years ago here at South County Mall when they used to cruise Lindbergh, anybody lived here long enough to know that, and I was cruising on Lindbergh, some girls broke down. I don't know anything about how to fix a car, but I thought at least I would say, let me take a look. I remember as if it was yesterday looking under there thinking, all the big parts are there. Man, I don't know. You should call AAA. Come on, you know what I'm saying? That's just a confession that I got to make to you guys. But I think that's the way we do sometimes. We look under the hood, but we don't know what to do with it. We're like, man, I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to address it. I don't have money for counselors. Well, you do have the Holy Spirit who's a counselor, and this church deals with real issues that can help you do what you need to do, which is address and confront. Because if you don't confront the issue, it'll keep confronting you, and now you'll be sneaking around, and in your Yeti cup is full of fireball. Because you're trying to cover up what God wants to heal. But if you came from a household that has said, that's just the way it is. There's our women's conference this weekend. They had an incredible story by a girl who's on the front row today. I promise you, at our city, I'll preach there in a minute. She'll be there. Her name's Julie Thompson. And Julie could hear in her story. She said she would hear the footsteps of her father coming down the hallway to molest her every night. She said it was the creepiest feeling in the world when she would feel and hear the doorknob begin to creak as they were doing something tragic. Now she gets married. Now when she gets married, she doesn't want to tell her husband because she feels like something's wrong with her. There's a lot of things that have happened to you that had nothing to do with you, and you're holding guilt and shame on the inside of you, and it's really shame on the other person. But when you get healed and whole, you can come out front and say, hey, Nicole, for instance, when I met her, I thought, number one, oh man, her car hadn't broke down, but if she had had a car, I hadn't seen it because she had on a short skirt and long legs. And I promise you, I just was like, I rebuke this spirit of lust right now. And Nicole began right away, our first date, she tells me, I was molested as a kid. I was raped at 13. That boy that you see, I never married his dad because I was looking for acceptance and asked him, Kurt, do you want to get married? Will you be married forever? He said, I'll marry you now, but I can't promise you I'll be married forever. And so she starts looking for all the love and affirmation because guess what? Dad left her. She had never met her dad. She's like 16. I'm seeing, she's letting me know right away, hey, this looks good, but are you willing to deal with the pain? And I'm telling you, there was a whole lot of drama. 26 years. Wow. Fights, aggravation, trauma, triggers, and I had to figure that out. Nicole is a stage 12 clinger. Where are you at? What are you doing? How long are you going to be? Blah, 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 everything. So I am highly accountable because she knows exactly. Oh, he's leaving Quick Trip right now. I'm following him on Life 360. There he is, and he left here. But it doesn't bother me because if you have nothing to hide, it's absolutely fine. I'm here to tell you, though, the more honest you are with yourself, then you can be honest with other people because I got a feeling. People are going to love you, and they're going to understand you better when you say, hey, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. I didn't do it, but this happened to me. But I'm going to say it didn't happen to me. It happened for me, and I'm going to use what the devil meant for evil. Somebody ought to shout amen to turn it around for my good. Everybody shout hallelujah to that. So the differences between these two guys. When Judas comes to the Garden of Gethsemane, remember, and he said, you'll know the guy you need to take captive and arrest because I'll kiss him. His betrayer, Jesus, you know that. Jesus gets betrayed by Judas and he kisses him and the soldiers come in to take him away. Immediately, Peter, right, emotional, I get so emotional, baby. He grabs a sword and cuts the FBI agent's ear off. How many of y'all know that's a problem? You got a bunch of guys taking you away. And now this Jesus is like, Peter, quit helping me. He picks up the ears. The guy's name was Malcolm. He picks up the ear and performs a miracle, puts the guy's ear back on. How many of y'all know that would be very handy? Way better than MedFirst, right? He just fit, boom, boom. But he's emotional under Peter's hood. He said, I'm a reactionary leader. I don't think through it. I just say what's on my mind. I deal with it right now. When really, if you learn to control you, God created you who you are, but he wants you to be the same version of who you are. It works better for everybody. Now Judas, when it's found out and it all comes out, he gets so upset. He feels like a betrayer. He actually, here's what happens. He doesn't even keep the money. He takes the money and he throws it. Remember this? He throws the money back at them and says, I don't even want the money. That's what the devil will do. He will tempt you and say, this is what you need. This is what you want. But ultimately, he knows under your hood, deep down in your carburetor, deep down in the core, you are not that person. So that's what the devil tries to do. He tries to say, this alcohol will make you feel better. This sex will feel you better. This pornography will feel you better. And before long, you're not even having sex anymore. You're having sex, which isn't real. It's a fantasy. How can that be good? Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What he wants to do is he wants to bind you up. But Jesus came, the good news is, to set you free. But we're talking about this. In fact, I feel levels of discomfort. Someone, I don't want to talk about that here. Well, I don't want you learning it from Jerry Springer. I want you learning it at church. I want your kids learning healthy behaviors at church. I want you in a group learning healthy behaviors at church. It doesn't always have to be this way. Say amen to that. So he comes and now he gets alone. And he goes and he hung himself. Isolation. If you're a note taker, I want you to write that down. Isolation. Can you spell it for me? I'm a homeschooler. How do you spell it? When I spelled it out, what stuck out to me was I. When you get alone with just I, you will get so depressed, so alone. So thinking it's your fault. So thinking it can never be better. I can never be free. After all, I've repented over this 1,000 times, and I'm not even repenting anymore because, after all, I'm always just going to be, this is just the way I am. It leaves you hopeless. So in a hopeless state, in isolation, he goes and hung himself. Peter was predicted for Peter. If you remember this, Jesus knew what was under his hood, and he said, hey, Peter, Satan, in fact, I think I want to read it. I want to find it in the Bible real quick. Can you give me just a second? Two of you can give me a second? I'm buying time through deflection right now. Actually, I can't find it. Yeah, this shows it. Matthew 26. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, you're the one of those guys that were with Jesus. But Peter denied him in front of everyone. Later, came out of the gate, and a servant girl noticed him. This another girl sees him sitting outside a Quick Trip and said, hey, are you the guy that hangs out with Jesus? And he denies it again. And then it says, again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. Actually, he said a curse word there to prove he wasn't with Jesus. Jesus had predicted this. He said, hey, Peter, the table when Judas is going to betray him, he said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you, quote, like wheat, but I have prayed that your faith fail not. Jesus knows what was going to happen to Peter, and to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Peter, though, because he's reactionary, he says what all of us say, could never happen to me, quit anytime I want. I don't know if you guys heard about the guy that was addicted to brake fluid. He was drinking brake fluid every day. And somebody was accusing him, like, you just is crazy. And he said, hey, I can stop anytime I want. Brake fluid stop, okay? It doesn't get any better. It's a dad joke, but I'm a dad. Come on, give it to me. I know, bad joke. But we don't know why we're doing it. So Peter said, hey, that'll never happen to me. Never say never. A lot of times in my life, I've lived long enough to know the thing I said I would never do, I end up doing. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? I'd never do that. And Peter said, I'll never do it. The next day, he's standing outside a Quick Trip, and then he says, people are really starting to get on to me that it's me, and my life is at risk, and I've got to protect me. And so he says, hell no. And then all of a sudden, we hear, dock-a-doodle-doo. And then his heart sank. He said, this is exactly what I said I would never do. And I just did it 3 times. So the difference between these two guys is Peter gets alone in isolation and he hung himself. Isolation is very dangerous. Peter says, I'm going to go back to the fishing business. Some people argue, and I think it's wrong, he went back to his old lifestyle. No, I think he went back to say, where's the last place that Jesus found me? Where's the last place that he came beside me and he was there? And to prove it, later, Jesus does come back to the boat and he says, hey, have you caught anything yet? Good way to open the conversation. Notice this about the behavior of Jesus. This is exactly the way this joker is. He doesn't come back and go, well, dirty, rotten scoundrel, did exactly what I told you we were going to do. I told you you were going to. Three times, Peter? Really? And then using H-E double hockey sticks? For real, Peter? But Jesus knew deep down on the inside of Peter that he had a heart towards God. And because Judas went in isolation alone, I'm going to go alone and the pornography will make me feel better. I'm going to be alone. And all the bad stuff we do, we want to do alone. We don't want anybody to know. They probably do know. They just don't tell you. By the way, guys, this is something you don't know about women. They know so much more than you think they know when you tell them and they say, I know. Don't be surprised. They just know. Just because a woman doesn't tell you, they know. Guys are so stupid. You still don't believe me. They know. To just admit it right away. Yep, did it. So Peter's difference, though, between the two, they were both attacked by the devil. But Peter said, I'm going to go back fishing with my brothers, with my friends. He didn't do it in isolation. I want to push you until you can't be pushed any longer to say that it's not okay to think that you'll be okay to be alone. Think about the dumb stuff that you've done, and you did it when you were alone. Alone is not a good place to be. In fact, God, I just came up by the Holy Spirit. What did God say when he created man? He said, it's not good that man should live alone. God knew you don't need to be alone. When he sent the disciples out, he sent them two by two in a group of 70. There was always a group. You're only as sick as your secrets. And so if you allow the sickness of the secret to keep you bombarded and keep you back, and you don't look on the hood, but outside you look shiny. In fact, a lot of people cover it up. They're trying to cover up what they actually need to get healed up of. And the way you do this is through conversations with God and conversations with trusted people. Now, I'm not suggesting you find somebody today at one of our campuses and go, hey, let me tell you about my problem, blah, blah, blah. We don't know this joker yet. You got to try it out with small stuff. Tell them something really small and see if they go tell somebody. And you'll get in a relationship. They'll heal you. And one day you'll wake up. Like Cynthia. How much weight did you lose? 245 pounds lighter. Happy. She couldn't even get on airplanes. Now she travels around. She's in mastermind groups. I see her at church in Florida. I see her here today. She just gets around. She's enjoying her life. And it's only just begun. I'm telling you, it's only just begun. Her best days and blessed days are out there in the future because she did the hard work to get under the hood and say, hey, I've got a food addiction, or I've got a pornography addiction, I've got an alcohol addiction. What is it? Abuse is just abnormal use. And I get it. You did it because I needed a temporary relief from this pain that I feel. Raise your hand if it's helping you, or let's make it easier and say, man, I do know some people that I definitely need to tell about this sermon. It's hard to get under the hood, especially if you don't know anything about the mechanics of your brain. You can go on YouTube and watch it. I have a whole series where I built a giant brain up here and talked about your mind and dopamine. And you get the temporary dopamine hit when you do the thing that you've done. And now when you have this thing that happens, you're like, I've never faced this and not done that. And so you're just triggered and you go back. I need the money. I go back. I need the hit. And when you understand you and you go, wait a minute, you're lying to yourself right now. And you get new dopamine hits. There are new things and pleasures that you can evolve into that the Holy Spirit will lead you into. And you'll go, man, now I feel great when I work out, when I ride my bike. And I know it sounds so crazy because the enemy has told you, you'll never be happy if you don't do it drunk, if you don't do it lit, if you don't do it high. And now I want to say this. You know something I'm worried about? I don't worry about a lot. I owe $16 million, and I don't even worry about that. Building these churches. Because of the life change that happens, I go, if it's God's will, it's God's will. Here's what I worry about. I worry about in the divided states of America that the drug dealer is not really that lucrative as much anymore on the corner. That the drug dealer is on every corner. And it starts out with Walgreens and CVS, and they say, you need this medication that causes that, and it might cause this. And then now that's not enough. Let's say, let's have a get high shop on every corner. Here's Above High, here's Mile High, get your Delta 8 here. And I just worry that a lot of people are so drugged, they can't read a book. They're so drugged, they can't function. They're so drugged, they can't get out. And I'm not trying to condemn you, I'm just saying you don't have to go down that path. The best path is to eat, drink, and be healthy on the things that God has given you. And people are trying to take the drug. Does this make sense to you guys? They're taking the drug because they won't go to church and look under the hood. And if they did go to most churches, they're not saying anything that could be used on Monday. Who cares about mid-trib? Who cares about millennial reign? Who cares about post-millennial and after reign? Who cares? I know all that. I could bore you with that. It doesn't really matter. When is Jesus really coming? I don't know, but you will definitely see it on your feed as soon as it happens. So we don't have to talk about it. CNN will be there. You're gonna get. It's gonna be on TikTok. It'll be everywhere. You're going to know. But how do I deal with the junk right now that the devil's trying to destroy me, get me alone, and get me to stop living my life? And that's what we're gonna break here. Come on, somebody, at this church. Because he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Can I get a big amen? Yeah. Side note, am I really 5 minutes over on this sermon? I got 4 minutes left. Has it always been yellow, the color? Huh? When it's five or less, I'm learning the rules here. So five or less goes yellow. Because I thought a while ago it was a different color.
It was.
We'll edit all this out. Woo! I thought, man, I'm really, it's like, why are you late for Earth City? There's a couple thousand African Americans there. Where's he at? He's yelling about a medical marijuana store up downtown, and we can't get the old man off his horse. Okay. Isn't it fun? Do you like this church as much? I love it. Okay. Everybody shout, I love it. So, I think, I've got like 10 pages more notes. Don't miss next week. I don't know exactly what I'll get into because it's Father's Day, but I do feel like a lot of this goes with something called father wounds, and father wounds are real. And I have them as much as I brag about my dad, and I love my dad. My dad was a suppressive leader and a very controlling leader and a narcissist. And a lot of my personality was dumbed down, couldn't even laugh because he'd be like, stop laughing. Have you ever really got tickled about something in the car and your parents told you not to laugh and you were dying? I'm talking. But my dad would literally pull out a belt and whip you if you laughed because he wasn't in the mood, because he was under pressure. Really what it was is he had so much stuff that his dad did and so much stuff that he went through in his life, and he looked under there, but he didn't know what to do. But then when I saw that happen to my dad, and then my dad goes on to be with the Lord, I'm begging dad, God, please don't take my dad. He's 56. I'll be 55 September 9th. Write that down because you clearly forgot last year. At 56, he dies up here at St. Anthony's Hospital. And I'm begging him, please don't. And God spoke to me as clear as I've ever heard him. I wasn't pastoring this church. He had a little church of about 180 people. And he said, if you're not in the will of God, you're in the way of God. And I'm going to take your dad home. He's going to love it so you can do what you're called to do. You're called to build great churches to set people free. And I said, God, please don't take my dad. And it cost me a lot. But I remember when he left and I was at St. Anthony's Hospital, just this flurry of emotion hit me where I felt like, oh my gosh, I miss him and I love him and I want him back. But at the same time, it's really weird. And I've never even said this before. I felt somehow free. I felt like, oh, I've got to be myself now. So I just went on television a year later, and I started doing this stick that I do of trying to help people and being myself and stopping it and talking about, I don't know the rules of the clock. And people liked it, and the church grew, and you came, and thousands of people have been helped. So a lot of times there's father wounds that you have. Girls have it. Guys have it. And we're going to deal with that next week. We're going to look under the hood of why you might be seeking affirmation and approval, why you're absolutely beautiful, but you feel ugly. And if you don't fix it, the people on this arm right here, all my kids that are right here, Nicole, it says N-I-C-O-L-A. She said, I don't think it's very clear. I said, if I got married to somebody else, do you think that she would see it? She said, absolutely. I go, there you go. And then my grandson is here, L.A. It's all right here because I don't want to jack up their lives. My greatest fear is to ever come to you and tell you, guys, I've done something really stupid, and I can't be your pastor anymore because I know how stupid I am. Now you're all nervous. You're like, oh, God. But you guys got to remember, Nicole's tracking the fire out of me. Come on, somebody. You're not going to catch me at a weed store. Nicole will be like, I'm here. So as we go, I want you to stand. And I got a couple questions I want to ask you. Number one, I want to ask you to ask yourself right now in your mind, are you willing to look under there? Are you willing to look under there? When you look under there, are you willing to seek help? There was a kid that ran up to me. Last night, he couldn't have been about 14. You could tell he's a mixed kid, and hair was real big. And he came up and he said, pray for me. There's a lot going under my hood, and I'm a bad, bad person. And I grabbed him and held on to him, and I said, here's why I know. I've never seen him before. Here's why I know you're not a bad person. You came up and just told me you were a bad person. This tells me that you're a great person and you want to help. I don't know when you were molested. I don't know what pornography you're watching, but I'm here to tell you the fact that you came up means that this is the weekend for your freedom. And he was brave enough to say, I need help. Help me. And that's what our church does. Come on, somebody. That's what we're teaching your little kids. That's what we're teaching you in the youth group. That's why we wanted to send to Rev Camp. Why? Because the devil's after your kids. And you can break this cycle in your life today. And I want to spend my whole life with you guys. Austin, come here. Austin, I got him when he was 7. And he pastors 3 churches in Florida. And I couldn't be more proud of who he is. I couldn't be more proud of the things he went through. And how he stood up. He's always got my back, always got his back. If he was biologically mine, he could not be more mine. I'd die for this guy. And we do life together and we're honest together. Sometimes we talk to each other in a stiff tone. He told me not long ago, I don't like you for a minute. It was the first time he ever said it. And I go, bring it on, baby. Talk to me. But it's good. You got to get it out. Hey, you're reacting this way right now. And that makes me feel diminished. You got to be able to talk about it. I was like, who are you talking to right now? I'm like, bring it. I would have loved to have said that to my dad. You got it, man. Look at you. Have you been to the weed store? Come on, so you're high right now. Bring it. See how I affirmed him? Some of you don't even know what to do if somebody told you, I'm proud of you. You did a good job. I want to be the person that tells you, I'm proud of you. How do you know? You don't even know me. It's Sunday morning, Joker, and it's raining, and your butt came to church. Who in the world does that? You could have watched online because it's easy, but you came. Come on, somebody. Give it up for the men and women who came. God, I pray right now for every person in the sound of my voice, Lord, that you would heal them, that you would touch them, that today's sermon somehow would touch them, and they would see the distinct difference between Judas and Peter, and the dangers of isolation, and the beauty of open communication. God, we're going to look under the hood. We're going to get in a group. We're going to go to church. We're going to give our life to Jesus when we feel it, and we don't feel like doing it. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. I love you.